We sampled it from them, but it's not the same bass line.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going.
Yes? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the owners to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright
experiment.
Yeah. Welcome to the copyright experiment. It's 11 o'clock. 11:05, I guess, I'm a little late. Thursday night. And it's time for the copyright experiment. Your favorite show about copyright, intellectual property, free music, all that stuff. Every week we have a topic about around the idea of copyright and intellectual property and how these things are changing the musical landscape. And we also play all free music. So if you like free music, we're going to do a DJ mix later on, or I am. I'm flying solo today. Usually I'm with my co-host DJ Mochi, but he's out. He's out of town for the month, so you just got me. I'm going to be talking to you guys. This week we have an interesting topic, kind of a summary show on what exactly the federal government is up to these days in the world of copyright. Well, not just copyright, but in the world of digital culture and information distribution and all that kind of stuff. So, so to kick it off today, we have three components to our show today. There's three kind of things that have happened recently that I want to talk about. And the first one is called the Digital Canada 150 Plan. And this is a proposal that the federal government released recently that is basically their roadmap for what they're going to do in the digital realm for in time for 2017, which is Canada's 150th birthday. So that's 3 years from now, Canada turns 150, and the federal government hopes to do these things outlined in this plan. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the a bill that was recently proposed in the Canadian Senate called Bill S-4, the Digital Privacy Act. And this has kind of raised some eyebrows around some of the digital privacy critics. It's called the Digital Privacy Act, but it does a little bit more than that, so we'll get to that in a bit. And we're also going to be talking about, in the news recently, the CBC's been in the news a lot recently, and how their funding cuts are forcing them to do a lot of restructuring at their corporation, which is obviously CBC's our National Broadcasting Corporation for Canada. Let's kick it off today. With the Digital Canada 150 plan. Oh, my text just got really small. Okay, so the Digital 150 plan. So first of all, I want to talk about why we're actually going to talk about this on the copyright experiment, because usually on the copyright experiment we talk about things that are more or less directly related to copyright in music, and this isn't really related to music, but I think it is related to copyright a little more indirectly. And because copyright at its core is a framework for information distribution, it's a way for people to control how the information that they create can be distributed to other people. So, and because of that, copyright plays a huge role in the digital world, as we've talked about many times on the show before. And in the 21st century, digital distribution is like the primary way to distribute information. And in order for copyright and by extension any other information transmission function to happen naturally or function properly, we need a proper government policy that's going to allow the distribution of information to be flow in a natural way that isn't interfering with the way that people want to do things. And that's been kind of a running topic on a lot of other shows about the way in which people are using intellectual property these days is different from the way in which the copyright is legislated for. And this kind of comes up more because the people that want to control copyright legislation are not the ones that are consuming it. So in 2017, as I said, Canada turns 150 years old. Very exciting. And so let's kind of dive into this digital plan 150 Digital Canada Plan. If you're actually listening online or anything, you can pull up your computer and search for the Digital Canada 150 plan and follow along if you'd like. It's all available online. They have it in a nice animated form if you want to see kind of illustrations moving around and digital metaphors such as trains riding on tracks of USB cables and all that sort of stuff. So they really went for the glitz and glamour for this one, this report. And it starts off with the Prime Minister's message, which is always, you know, when I read that, I was like, well, this will be good. So basically, Prime Minister Stephen Harper says he wants to make Canada a global leader in digital technology, and which was surprising to me because he hasn't really made it seem like that. And this is a quote by him in the introduction. It says, Canada is a major world economy because we are open and free. We already lead in fields such as trade, science, innovation, and culture. We are now ready to take our place as the most technologically advanced nation on the planet. Now, that is a lofty goal. And also kind of raised my eyebrow when I read it, because it's not really exactly what the Harper government has been doing up until this plan. And we a lot of other places like the CBC, which we'll talk about later, exposed some of the things that the Harper government is doing that's pretty much the opposite of what he just said. And actually, here at CITR, the Terry Project did a show on the muzzling of scientists from the government and how that's kind of hurting the scientific climate in Canada and reducing our ability to contribute to the scientific community on the world stage, and obviously reducing the ability of scientists to do what they need to do is going to hurt technology in the domestic sector, and overall not very conducive to a digital future. So one of the first criticisms that a guy named David Ellis outlined in his review of this outline of this digital plan, Digital Canada 150 plan, is that the outline is really short. It's 26 pages long, and 26 pages may not seem that short, but if you compare it to, for example, the FCC's similar publication. So the FCC is the Federal Communications Committee, something like that, in the U.S., and they are the regulatory body for everything in communication technologies, in the same way that the CRTC is in Canada. And the FCC created a publication around the proliferation of broadband internet in the U.S., which is the same topic that this Canadian publication is heavily about, and their publication was 376 pages, which is significantly bigger than this 26-page paper. And you know, it's small enough that you can read it in an hour, less than an hour. So, so it tells you right there that maybe there's some things missing from here that make it that that would allow one to consider it as a serious attack or support for a digital culture in Canada, which is unfortunate because Canadians, as have been as we've noted some before and for many years, is Canadians were really quick to adopt internet technology early on, and many people think that was because of Canada's uniquely spaced out region. So Canada's a huge country. The major cities are far and wide. You know, the three major cities, Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal, are all pretty far away from each other. And the internet was a great way to connect people across such a vast land space. So so the Canadians were quick to latch onto the internet, but as some critics have noted, the development of internet technology here and communication technologies such as wireless cellular technology and stuff like that, they've kind of lagged behind the rest of the world since jumping out to that good start. So, and the DC 150 publication here doesn't really acknowledge any of that. They say that, you know, Canadians are leaders in this and they're not really doing anything else. So it does acknowledge, though, there's five pillars that they have, and they're all kind of equally vague and filled with fluffy words and, you know, great things about Canada and what the government has done and everything. So the five pillars are connecting Canadians, protecting Canadians, economic opportunities, digital government, and Canadian content. So if you hear that and you're thinking, those don't really sound like they mean a whole lot, you're not alone, because they don't really mean all that much. So under connecting Canadians, they do acknowledge that Canadians pay way too much for their wireless services, and the average person pays $94 a month for their cell phone package, along with data and things like that, and which to me is obscene, and is way higher than the average for OECD countries, which are basically encapsulating the 30 or so handful of developed nations. But it doesn't really say how to fix this or what they're going to do to fix this, only that they're going to do things that may possibly increase competition among wireless providers. But it doesn't really go on to acknowledge that wireless providers, the wireless telecom industry, is a unique industry in that competition among them is hard to foster because it takes so much infrastructure cost just to get a company off the ground, which is unlike most other industries where competition can be fairly easy to foster. Right now, Canada actually ranks very low in internet speed landlines, because that's not really sure why that is. Some would argue that it's because Canada is just so big, but we've really lagged behind in getting internet to people. And the major goal of the DC-150 plan is to have 98% of Canadian residents give them the ability to have 5 megabit download speed internet by 2019. And you could say, like, oh yeah, this is a good goal and everything. What they don't mention is in this publication is that compared to other countries, they're actually lagging really far behind. And the goal of 5 megabit per second is, like, extremely easy to reach. And most of the world is far and away above that in their goal of internet penetration. Currently, Canada ranks 19th overall in download speed, average download speed, at 10 megabits per second, which is a far cry from some smaller countries, such as Sweden and Japan, which are up into, like, 25 and 30 megabit per second. And this does have something to do with how far apart people are in Canada, more than, like, Japan or Sweden, but it doesn't have that much to do with it, because people are still clumped fairly close together in Canada, in by way of cities. And actually, what David Ellis also points out is that this policy actually, you know, gets people to run the wires and make internet available for people, but it doesn't actually encourage internet usage, which is an even bigger problem than just putting it and making it available. Because, for example, like, an 8 gigabyte data package is available to me, I'm not going to pay $150 for it. So you have to really convince people that the internet usage is beneficial for their way of life. And, you know, you could argue that very easily argue that if you're living in a remote location, the internet is a great way to feel more connected with people. But you have to actually put in the effort to do that rather than just give them the option and say, hey, here's some internet for you. So that's a kind of a close-minded view total of how to get the internet to all of Canada. And the rest of the paper, I'm just going to summarize quickly, but it doesn't really do much to put Canada in the top of the field, as Stephen Harper says it will. It's really kind of basic stuff that any country who takes the internet even somewhat seriously should have done a long time ago. One thing I do like in it is that they do mention that the National Film Board, which I'm a big fan of, is in the process of digitizing their 13,000 title library. So if you don't know what the National Film Board is, they fund a lot of Canadian films, and they have a gigantic library, and they're digitizing it all, and you can actually see a lot of them for free online at nfb.ca. So that's pretty cool. But it doesn't. This isn't really related to what the government has done. It's really just the NFB doing what they do, which is really cool stuff anyway. So to kind of sum it up, the government hasn't. They've kind of maintained the status quo, and at the same time actually made it tougher for consumers to enjoy digital content by amending the Copyright Act in 2012 to make the subversion of digital locks illegal. In the same way that it is in the DMCA, and also slashing CBC's budget and stuff like that, which we'll talk about in a minute. So the quote actually at the end of the DC 150 is, I'll quote this here, and it's kind of a load of crap because it doesn't really summarize any of it at all. It says, Digital Canada 150 is an ambitious plan that will provide a new direction and vision for Canada. It enables Canadians to meet the challenges and seize the opportunities of our age, just as our forefathers did in their time. Canada has a good start in becoming a digital nation. Now it's time to take the critical steps to write the next chapter in Canada's history. And, well, the government isn't really doing any of that. So, if you have any thoughts on that, if you want to check it out, search Digital Canada 150, or you can call in right now and talk to me about it, since I've been rambling on for about 10-15 minutes about it. You can call me at 604-822-2487, and we can talk about that. Next, we'll be moving on to another thing that's what I think is pretty dangerous for Canada, which is the Bill S4 proposed in the Senate called the Digital Privacy Act. And this follows a list of, you know, the omnibus bills that the Conservative government tries to really push through by hiding things that they really want but they know are unpopular into the text of a really long bill that has a name that is totally irrelevant from what they actually want from it. And so the bulk of this bill, the Digital Privacy Act, actually outlines, it regulates what companies must do if there's a security breach in their users' information. So this is mostly positive things because it makes it a little clearer to users what happens to their data and how companies will deal with it in case there's a security breach. And it also makes it clear what companies need to look out for. But in true conservative style, the section tucked into the middle has a lot of digital critics up in arms. So right now, under the Personal Information Protection and Electronic Documents Act, which is shortened to PIPEDA, a fun name for a pretty boring act, a tech company can only share users' data with government organizations, in particular, in very particular cases, for example, if there's a warrant for a police investigation. Now, Bill S4 will amend PIPEDA, the act, the Personal Information Protection Act, and that it will allow companies to share user information with other companies if the latter company believes that that a user has breached their terms of service or if there's fraud. So what this essentially means is that it allows for large big business copyright holders, such as film studios or record labels and stuff like that, to request information from, for example, internet service providers who allow users to use the internet, and they'll be able to ask for information on users that they are suspecting are violating their copyright. Now, first of all, there's three kind of arguments that, or three criticisms of this that are really all pretty bad. The first is that, bad for the bill anyway, the first is that it's a huge violation of privacy and the trust that users place in services. So, I mean, if I'm signing up for a web service, and I'm agreeing to give this information to the company, it's pretty much understood socially in a social contract that the information you're giving them isn't just going to be given to whoever they want for some idea of or some purported fraud or copyright infringement or any you're basically saying that the things that you do should be safe from other people, which is a very reasonable thing because we have the same thing outside of the digital sector. You know, the hospitals that we use, the doctors the files that we have on ourselves aren't being shared with, say, insurers or things like that. Or, you know, my car buying habits, for example, aren't being shared with the police because we have, you know, privacy safeguards installed to protect us against that. But that's apparently not going to be the case if this bill were to pass. And secondly, as we mentioned before on the show, copyright infringement can occur in a variety of like legal and useful instances. So, such as the digital lock circumvention, which I just mentioned, say if I buy something that has a lock on it, but I want to use it for a fair use, which we've talked about before. And if you don't remember, fair use is a set of uses that allow you to use something that would normally be copyright infringement, but for very specific purposes, such as education or just for personal use. And so a lot of these cases aren't copyright infringement, but could be argued that they are. And because fair use is such a gray area in law, it's debatable what can be considered copyright infringement and what is considered fair use. And because of that, it can only really be settled in court. But a company could take advantage of that and say, well, this person is performing copyright infringement on this work, so we're going to ask this ISP to give information on this guy. And the ISP will say, well, it's too much work to try and defend the user on our own, so we're just going to do it. And that could be a very real possibility, because ISPs don't really want to waste money and resources trying to find out if someone requesting information from them is actually doing it in good faith or not. And thirdly, under this legislation, companies don't actually need to disclose who or when they share information to. So they'll be free to share the information with government or companies, and they don't have to notify users when their information is being shared. And that's really scary to think that anything that I do through the internet that my ISP can track, I won't know when it's being shared with another company. It's pretty scary to think that I could randomly get some. It's basically a massive. It gives you the feeling that you're being surveilled all the time by copyright holders and stuff like that, and it doesn't really make a very inviting platform to join the internet into, or the conversation of the internet, because you know it creates a hostile environment. So, I mean, overall, ironically, the bill was created to tighten up information breaches when companies have, you know, security breaches that they weren't expecting. But at the same time, it now allows companies to ask for information freely and give up that information freely without it being illegal. So it kind of takes out the unwanted security breaches and adds in security breaches that users may not want, but companies do. So it's very strange. Thankfully, though, the bill has been tabled by the Senate, so we may not see it go to a vote anytime soon. But it's still scary that these things are out there and potentially being deliberated. So the third thing we're going to talk about today is CBC funding cuts. And this is kind of something that, on kind of the face of it, doesn't seem entirely terrible, but it does contribute to a loss of basically social democracy, and I'll explain why. So the CBC receives about $1.1 billion in government funding, and which is a lot of money. But the CBC is the national broadcaster, and they're kind of the voice of Canadians because they're beholden to the taxpayers. And so in 2012, the federal government removed $130 million from that budget. Actually, I think it's $115 million. And $115 million, that's over 10% of their budget, which is huge. It's not like, it's not a... a little, for any, for a corporation of that size, 10% is a massive amount of money, and it requires a huge amount of restructuring and layoffs and stuff like that. So, and this in conjunction with the loss of Hockey Night in Canada, their contract to show professional hockey on the CBC, they lost that bid to Rogers, which is a huge blow to their independent finances, so being able to generate revenue through advertising and things like that. The CBC has been forced to lay off over 600 employees. And I mean, they have a lot of employees, and so it's not like the CBC is dead, but it's a big problem because it starts a slippery slope, and it's exactly what a conservative legislator would want to do. And you know, conservative legislators now, the ideology in the government is that public services are kind of a drain on taxpayers, and it's true that they can be. And what the government is trying to do now is show people that these services are a burden by crippling them through funding cuts. So, I mean, there's the idea that we need to be fiscally responsible, but $100 million from the CBC, it has a disproportionate blow to the services we receive than the need for fiscal responsibility in the budget. And so it's very much a targeted attack on CBC services, and these are the things that kind of represent Canadians as and they, you know, shows like the Fifth Estate, and CBC is literally the Fifth Estate, and they're telling Canadians what they need to care about and why they should care about it. And without these things, Canadians are in the dark on a lot of things, and they have to rely on services online that you have to search for and stuff like that, and it makes it a lot more difficult to participate in the open dialogue of politics and news in Canada. And that's exactly what the Conservative government wants. So it is something that we need to be careful of, because the more we cut things like the CBC, the less useful they get, the less relevant they get, and the faster it is for them to fade into obscurity, which is really the last thing you want. Because the public broadcaster is the voice of the country, and as we can see, I mean, not all public broadcasters are like this. The BBC is a huge organization in the UK, the public broadcaster there, and it's revered by everyone, even outside of the UK. They do, you know, they do top-notch news reporting, but they also do top-notch cultural reporting. They also have the radio system that is highly revered and actually captures, you know, the young demographics that the CBC seems to be struggling with. But they have a lot of funding as well. So it's not like public services and national broadcasters are inherently poorly performing compared to private broadcasters. It's just that in Canada, we haven't been giving enough notice to them, to the CBC. So, if you have any thoughts on anything I just talked about, call in. We're going to take a quick break soon. Call me at 604-822-2487. Yeah, all three of these things I think are important to talk about, because they relate to copyright indirectly, but at the same time, they're very important for allowing things like me on a to talk about issues on a campus and community station, and have the ability to give you guys music online through blogs and stuff like that. I mean, these things really shape in a macro level how people participate in media and in the online world, in new media forms and stuff like that. So it's important to talk about. So I'm going to take a quick break. If you want to call me, we can talk before we do some music. But when we do come back, I'm going to play some free music. Lots of cool stuff coming up. So stay tuned.
CITR's George Barrett presents Real Reggae Music, Saturday, April 26th at the Grandview Legion Hall, 2205 Commercial Drive, featuring Jamaican food and refreshments and DJs George Barrett, Louis Sutherland, and DJ Froggy. Advance tickets are available at Rhythm and Spice or High Life Records.
Last year, over 650 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Copyright Experiment. We are just going to get into some free music like we do every week, spun by myself, Autonomy. So, and if you like any of the music you're hearing, it's all free. And what we do is post up download links for all the songs on our blog, so it's nice and easy for you to access the music that you're listening to, which is kind of a novel thing for radio. It's what we try to do here. So if you like any of the music, you can go to our blog at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. And we'll have download links. You can also stream all the old episodes and stuff. So yeah, check it out, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. We're going to get into some music. First track is by Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Classic rapper from mid-2000s, early 2000s. He just released a mixtape produced by himself. Lots of really cool stuff on it. Sit back, relax. Gonna get into the mix.
Dictator of the free world of rap. He about to get tasered. Probably hustling about, peddling his struggle rap. Hoping that I'm a buddy and I don't twist his cap. If you act like a bitch, then you a bitch in fact. Sir D's, I ain't stripping, you know it's a rap. Like fajitas, beat down the webmaster. For acting like he co-signing this dead bastard. I want answers, boy, you better have some. It's what I told him in my clutches as I slapped him. I don't know what you're talking about. He flabbergasted, certain ways about him, man, I just had to bash him. He likes sitting back, collecting off of others' work. He said, nah, you got it wrong, I'm offering a service. Yeah, you service yourself like masturbation. So all the vicious acts of nature shall remain nameless. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Control he held hostage, wondering how high he'd be accosted with the rampage. Damn, ain't no answers yet. You better get to yapping. Yeah, his ass was pet before he was acting like the game god. A swine who gank, that's his day job. He takes trust and freak it till none remains. He even had little shorties wrapped up in his game. Pretty soon he had an entourage. They running around with hopes, but doing his job. He kicking back, thinking that he Russell Simmons. Taking money off the top. Yeah, I peeped him skimming, wrecking the upside, but let's see. I'ma let the shit stretch as far as his greed. He pulled a hater move that was blatant, thinking I won't do shit, but now his ass is taped up. Okay, Mr. Smartass, we gon' see what's so goddamn funny, okay? Please, I don't know, man. You making me wanna smoke your ass, nigga. I think you need some more.
Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you.
Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Take me to your leader, I wanna see you. Man, I try to play numb to shit like this, but I'm cool cause this isn't love. We all have obsessions. Sometimes, sometimes. Cause when I'm on the road, I be on the road. I mean, you go hold me down, but I'm out to hold. Riding with my niggas, we the one that chose. Running through the city like I know you know. Yeah, my name is Party and the trigger figure function. Silly nigga might lose his life on assumption. Young nigga from the city. Club and my club's half empty. Ride with my niggas cause my niggas understand me. Still I'm plan A, pussy niggas on plan B. Just a young rich nigga, you don't have to understand me forever. Cause when I'm on the road, I be on the road. I mean, you go hold me down, but I'm out to hold. Young nigga for the city. Ain't shit pretty but my bitch and my mama. Anyone can get the drama. Strippers in the club and my club's half empty. Ride with my niggas cause my niggas understand me. Still I'm playing it, pussy niggas on plan B. Just a young rich nigga, you don't have to understand me forever.
This is a remix by Grand Theft and Small Town DJs, Canadian Boys. Before that, we heard some music from Party Next Door, the R&B crooner from Mississauga. I'm gonna take a quick break again, but we'll be right back with some more tunes. Stay tuned.
Friday, April 25th, come to the Nimbus Recording Finals at the Cellar Nightclub on Granville Street, starring Raquel Cole, Middle Beach Markets, If We Are Machines, and Real Mad Decent. Doors are at 7 p.m. Tickets at Red Cat, Neptune, Zulu, and online at northerntickets.com.
An ocean of sound and echoes abound. It's Saturday night, so chill, and don't go out until your ears have heard a neater, deeper reverb. Bringing you the newest tracks and old favorites of shoegaze, post-rock, trip-hop, dream-pop, and everything in between with a sick echo, enter into a deeper reverb every Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. on CITR.
And we're back. Got a new track from Seventh Wonder, which we did a mini profile of a couple weeks ago on the show. New track by him. More music to come. Whoop!
make a move on me.
That you're the kind of guy. That you're the kind of guy. That you're the kind of guy that
should make a move on.
Make a move on.
elevate religiously. Imitations igmi, simply signify on the pygmies. Die hard to the kidneys. Rip through rhythms like Ripley's. Believe it or not, when I weave through the block, deceitful or not, I'ma leave him to stride. Toddlers faint, bottle drank, mind-boggling walls of debate. Pause and break, laws and take the proper spot. Our lies the base.
What? Border patrol. Bookending the mix with some more Dell. War with the flow, reflect. This time he's on Kool AD's new mixtape. No, no, no. Inside. Check it out. Go with the flow. Spin my bars. Invite stars. 10 times large. Solar system can't quite spark. The revolution has been moving like a band of Nazis following the Hitler. Just swallowing the liquor of the. It's gonna be our last track for the night. Stay tuned for Oral Tentacles with Pierre, taking you through from midnight to 6 a.m. Wanna stay? Big deal. Pigs. I'm out. Make sure you check out the blog for all the download links, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. See ya. Might hit your car door. Bonafide, known to ride out like a large boat. Cross the seven seas with more drugs like refugees, insects especially. Bugs hide and pester me. Sending much invested, but I invested in weaponry. Step to me, each toe, repeat to the beat slow. The mantra, serve you the entree if you want some.
This life pulse slowly hear my light leak is brick Kobe and blinding, yeah, frigid peak underfill my wavelength neta g santos raízes and campos sorega nada for this gata gatissima turnate destruction into pasta ingest and spit the eloquentest bar same fissures I'm hard to measure emotional algebra making obscure articulate leave you like unfinished kiss seeking again and again you been and she a fighter set fires till the end a passion you can't fathom again and left straggling crooked walking a flash of vertigo
1990 something cool, intergalactic backpack, Richmond slash El Cerrito, see me Stilo bro, lamping like it's the Hamptons though, swing the John McEnroe, a man, a plan, a canal, Panama, that's a palindrome, I don't fucking know man, I'm rapping, yo, yo, it's a talent show, but still you gon' remember like the Alamo, Alameda Calico man, yo. I'm magnetizing, magnificent mindset, telepathic, moving through hella traffic, style so circular, thought it was a circle, but I served to swerve purses and hearts from hers towards hearseless avenues, observe how these words have attitudes that speak platitudes, and bang on your chest like a Jesus piece, and breathe peace and gratitude, but still churchless, but shit, I might still run up in a church's chicken, with a biscuit like, give me all your chicken and biscuits, shit. I might cop a 3D printer and go print up a biscuit. Then rob the chief of police of the city of Richmond. And chief up in the station touching titties and swigging up on Firebird. Listening to Chief Keef while watching muted YouTubes of the Lyrebird. Who's your A&R? You ought to fire yours. My A&R is a Maze 88, Lauren Hell, and Melosi in the Jetta. And whoever's on KMEL, plus the weather, plus the salmon and crackers that I was eating, and hibiscus iced tea that I was sipping, plus the laughter of children echoing around the corner of the last evening. What the fuck? Plus the feeling of freedom I have from wheeling and dealing to buy the food that I'm eating. Even though a lot of people are not eating, and I'm seeing that and it sucks and I'm not feeling that. But what can one man do? I don't know, probably a lot. Shit. You know, it's probably a lot of shit, really, yo. My name is Kool AD, and I say a lot of shit. You don't really even fucking need to listen to all of it, but some of it is nice. And this joint's hella nice. Like fish on yellow rice. I kick like Cenobites. My Bitcoin's hella bite. My shit boy, hecka tight. My wrist boy, hella ice. Jokes, but still wreck a mic. Smoke until my head is right. Hustle till the lettuce right. Cut a couple tracks until I get it right. Chuckle when I run it back and it sounds like I ain't said it right. But that's whatever, man. Cool Mike Jack, Peter Pan up in Neverland.
Pause.
Man, I'll just never be Nas, man. But I'll never fall off like out of BC's cap. And I ain't even seen Oz, I just listen to clips. And you ain't never heard my mix, you just listen to clips. So you can't tell me shit. You better cop all my shit on the internet and listen to them before you try dissing them. Cool, straight, glistening. Are you listening? Man, hey. It's crazy, man, how I straight piss on them. We be to rap what Key be to Lock, and y'all be to Ja Rule what he be to Pac. And I said that line last week in another track, but Ladybug's right here, so you know I had to bring that sucker back. Oh snap, I feel like the rap Mark Zucker Black. Y'all fucky birds can't fuck with that. And even if you could, you wouldn't, cause you pussy.
I'm Walter Cronkite. I'd like you to hear something.